Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to another week of Right Here in Mass. Joining us today is Kara Sottolato, who works for Lift Truck Parts and Service Incorporated, which is a forklift company located in West Springfield that her father started when she was an infant. Wearing many hats in the company, Kara has been able to build close relationships with her coworkers and experience a new opportunity every day. In addition to her career at Lift Truck, Kara is a board member of the Young Professional Society of Greater Springfield, where she mostly helps with planning events. Thank you for coming on the show today, Kara. Please share more about you and what you do.
Thank you for having me. So I obviously work for my dad's forklift company. I do all sorts of different things within the company. I started off looking up parts, which is kind of the basis of everything, looking up parts to fix forklifts, opening up work orders so that our mechanics can go on jobs. We go on site to fix other people's forklifts. Now I do a lot of accounting things, some stuff that has to do with marketing, which actually is a lot of fun. And every day is a little bit different.
Yeah, which seems like that's probably really exciting, is the fact that you're never doing the same thing over and over. It kind of just seems like it's wherever you need it, you step right in.
Yeah, so it's nice to have people who've worked here for so long. Since my dad started the company 35 years ago, I get to learn from people every single day about their aspect of the business. So kind of, it's just a kind of an intermingling of everybody working here that has helped me. I'm super lucky that I get to learn from these guys, from down from the mechanics, which I could not be a mechanic. Mechanical knowledge is pretty tough for me. Sometimes when I read the things like electrical diagrams that they work on, I'm like, I don't know how you do this.
Oh my gosh.
So from that to the people in accounting, along with the marketing companies we worked with and actually the third parties that we worked with, it's just every day is different and every day is a chance to learn.
Absolutely. And when did you come into the company? Have you had it as your career for a while, or was it more recent where you joined?
So it's been about 12 years that I've been working here. I went to college at American International College. I studied business. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, and it kind of fell into my lap. I always said, oh, I'm not going to be part of my dad's business. I'm not going to do this. But it ended up that you have a sense of pride towards something that your family member started. So I was like, you know, maybe I'll start here. And again, I started by looking up parts and just doing small tasks that they were teaching me to do, filing things, and kind of worked my way up learning more and more. And I realized that I did enjoy it. I loved the people that I worked with. I loved being able to not do the same job all the time. And it just kind of fell into place.
That's amazing. And with all of the different offerings that Lift Truck offers, which is sales, parts, service, and rentals, do you tend to favor one over the other, or do you like them all equally as much?
So I think the bulk of our business that we do has to do with service. A lot of people would immediately think sales, which we do. We sell a lot of forklifts, which is great. But I think our main focus is servicing those forklifts. So getting people up and running when they have a forklift down, or doing just regular maintenance, which is like an oil change, air filter change, that kind of thing, kind of the way that you would maintenance your car when you need an oil change. And that drives a bulk of our business. Obviously, selling is a big thing. I do like selling forklifts. I like seeing the new different things come in. Over the past 10 years or so, I think it's really moved a lot towards electric forklifts because people are more worried about what they're putting into the environment. It started off a lot with food companies because they couldn't have propane in their factories, which makes sense.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it's been great seeing the changeover from propane to electric forklifts. So I do like that part of selling too.
Oh, I imagine. And with that, do you typically build really close long-term relationships with your customers coming back to you to perhaps buy new equipment or get it serviced? It's kind of like a long-standing relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like you either start by servicing them or you start by selling to them. And it kind of is just a domino effect. So they, once you sell to them, they inevitably need service, or once they have service, eventually their forklifts are out of date and they need to buy new ones. A lot of times at the end of the year, a lot of our customers have products they need to get out. So they do a lot of renting just to supplement that instead of buying. And we do also a lot of forklift training too, to make sure that the people that are operating the lifts are trained by OSHA and things like that. So everyone's safe, you know, operating the forklifts in these facilities.
Right. And I think it's amazing that Lift Truck offers so many services and products within one. So that way their customers or your customers really kind of have that one-stop shop where no matter what service or product they might need, they know who to go to.
Right. Yeah. So it's great. And we're obviously a family-owned company. So I have my dad, myself, my brother, my uncle. We have a pair of people that have been working here, their brother and sister. They've been working here for 35 years together.
And
I think that's a great way to build relationships too, because people would rather talk to some, like a physical person. They don't want to talk to a big corporation. They don't want to call an 800 number and get shifted through to 10 different people. And that makes it easier to build relationships with our customers.
Absolutely. And that was another thing I wanted to ask you about, knowing that your company is so family oriented. Do you find that at times it gets difficult to say, okay, this is family time, or we're having a family gathering together, not really talking about work and having that distinction?
100%. But family time, family time always ends up being forklift time. So essentially there's no real, we don't really draw the line anywhere. A lot of us have similar personalities, so we butt heads. And it can be a great thing, but on the other end of it, it's just kind of one of those things that you don't really go home and turn off your phone. There's always going to be a phone call. We're always going to be talking about something. There's always something to work on. And honestly, that's pretty normal for me. It's been my whole life. I mean, I grew up around forklifts my entire life. So,
yeah. So for you, it's just natural.
Yeah. There's no boundaries.
My fiance is a plumber who works for his dad, who is a plumber. So I always see that family dynamic of work crossing over into just family hangout time and family hangout time crossing into work time. So it's always interesting to get other people's perspectives who are also in the family business.
Yeah, it's almost, I feel it's almost impossible to cut that off in between.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely.
I think it works to our benefit though.
Oh yeah, definitely. And speaking of, I believe Lift Truck is celebrating 35 years pretty soon, or already has, is that correct?
We are. So it's, this year is our 35th anniversary. We've been in West Springfield for 35 years. We actually also have an office in Brockton that we opened, say 15 years ago now, that's doing great as well. So we're hoping to do a lot of stuff with the community, all throughout Massachusetts, here in Western Mass, also over in Eastern Mass. We're going to kick off our new year with doing some stuff with Bay State. They're having their children's hospital radiothon. So we're hoping, well, we are going to be doing a part of the sponsorship for them. I'm going to be volunteering there, and we're hoping to be donating a percentage to them in the first quarter of the year. So we're super excited about that. And we have a few other initiatives to give back to the community for our 35 years. So we're very excited.
That's awesome. Is there anything that you're able to share now, or something that has to wait?
It has to wait for a little bit.
Build up that suspense.
Yeah, we have a few things that are in the works right now. So
yeah. Awesome. I always think that's so fun when businesses, whenever they have a big anniversary like that, finding ways to celebrate and thank the community that's helped to get them where they are.
Yeah, it's I'm really excited about it. Super excited to give back and just get out there and also meet people in the community, and just kind of make it known. I think in the forklift industry, it's not something that people think about all the time. I don't think people go around thinking about, oh, what, I wonder how the forklift business is doing. So it's nice to do it.
Yeah.
Nice to do something.
Absolutely. And with the forklift industry, would you say that's primarily male dominated?
Oh, absolutely. I think the first ever forklift meeting that I went to was like 200 people, and there, I think I was the only female in the room.
I think it is changing
over a little bit. So there's a corporation that's called Mahita, and they are a material handling industry like leader. What they do is they kind of bring people together. It's kind of a networking thing across the country. And their president right now is a female.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she has been for the past 2 years. So it is turning over a little. And we definitely see few female mechanics here and there, but it's few and far between.
Yeah. What would you recommend for anyone, any female who's looking to get into a male dominated industry like yours?
I would just say to go with your gut and don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain amount of assertiveness that you have to have. I mean, I don't want to say being mean or anything like that, but you kind of have to just stand your ground. So I think that in a male dominated industry, and on top of it being male dominated, it's also a male dominated industry by men who are, say, in their 50s, and they've been doing this for a long time. So you kind of have to just stand your ground and not be afraid to say what you think and not be afraid to ask questions. Because even if you feel like I felt dumb doing it, you know, you don't want to ask a million questions, but even if you feel like that, you have to. That's how you learn, right? And that's how they learn, and they ultimately will respect that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can imagine with you being on the younger side compared to your male counterparts, like, you must end up bringing so much fresh perspective into things with just having different experiences and being female. I imagine that there's been a lot of opportunities to do really cool things within the company because of the fact that you're female in a male dominated industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is, and along with my age, has definitely helped that. I think having different perspectives, even, you know, my brother, who's a little older than me, but still younger than most of the men in the industry, he also has a great perspective because we haven't been around forever. We weren't, we've been here, but we weren't writing things out on paper. We've always had computers, and we've always been able to use, you know, we know what QR codes are, things like that, that these guys in the field are kind of clueless on. So
yeah,
it definitely gives us a leg up on that kind of a thing.
I imagine. Absolutely. And with that, you had mentioned earlier that there's a second location in Brockton, which is so interesting because that's down near where I am. And so what made Lift Truck want to open a second location in Eastern Mass specifically? Was there like research done where you noticed that there was an opportunity to serve a different part of the state, or what was that process like?
So first of all, a lot of manufacturing used to take place over here in Western Massachusetts, and a lot of it has moved towards Eastern Mass. So we kind of noticed that trend, which forklifts aren't only for manufacturing. However, that's a big bulk of it. So a lot of that's moved towards the east. So we noticed that. And then there was a dealership up for sale that was selling a certain brand of forklifts, and we were also part of the brand. So we asked to take over that territory. The way forklifts work, you can't just sell. So we sell Clark forklifts, but we can only sell them in the eastern part of the state. We can't sell them in Western.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like a different kind of niche market. Unlike cars, you can't just sell anywhere you feel like. So we kind of approached it that way, and it grew really quickly. And the market there is just insane right now. It's been very good, especially after COVID, when a lot of companies had to shut down, they couldn't do anything. We were on the other end of the spectrum where everyone needed a forklift because the lumber companies were going crazy. People were going out to Home Depot and buying things, and they need those forklifts to move all that stuff. We have a customer who makes masks, and they needed forklifts. So it ended up being pretty booming in that side of the state.
Which is really interesting because there are many unfortunate stories of businesses slowing down during the pandemic, but I always love hearing about businesses who just skyrocketed during that time because of the people they served and what they offered. So during that time, how were you able to manage such big growth and needs that were coming in from your customers?
It kind of just was streamlined. We had the mechanics here. We were lucky to not really have to lay anyone off or, you know, send anybody home. So we just kept going business as usual. We were able to just fulfill all these orders that we had for people and help them out with their forklifts. And it's really great to see. I think a lot of the industries that stayed in business, are really things that people overlook all the time. Manufacturing, box companies that make boxes for Amazon. I mean, you don't think about that every day. So
no.
We were able to have enough staff on. I know it's crazy. We were able to have enough staff on and not lay anyone off that we were able to get everywhere. So it was great.
This episode of Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com. And with the Brockton location, how do you manage having two locations? Do you have like a whole crew who really manages pretty much everything for you over there? Or do you and your family ever have to travel to that location to see how things are going?
So it's a little mix of both. We have a great team over there. We have a service manager who's been with us since we opened there, and he's pretty incredible guy. He's from Portugal and Fall River. So he's quite the interesting man. but he has extensive mechanical knowledge. He could probably rattle off part numbers and what is needed just by somebody calling him on the phone. So he's been a huge help. For about, I think, 5 or 6 years, I went to Brockton every day. I drove back and forth.
Oh my gosh.
Just to kind of learn the ropes out there. Yeah, it's kind of a rough commute, but it helped me really learn the ropes out there and learned how it really operates differently. The eastern side of the state and the western side of the state are very, I kind of like to compare it to like the north and the south in the United States. It's kind of a little slower in Western Mass. Not that Western Mass is slow, but in Eastern Mass, it's very go, go, go.
Yes.
And it took me a while, I have to say, to figure out people's accents out there. even though I'm from Massachusetts, there were so many times that I was like, can you spell that for me? So it's sort of, it runs a little differently. We do a few things out of our West Springfield location. Once in a while, we do our billing out of here. We have more office staff, but we do have a whole team out there. We have all our mechanics with their vans. We have a service manager. We have a full parts department out there. And actually, we are building more to our team there. So we're always looking for mechanics out there. Shameless plug, if anybody in Brockton, Fall River. We also service the Cape and Rhode Island as well, and some of New Hampshire. But
awesome. So you cover a lot of places.
We do, yeah. Which is great.
Awesome. Yeah. And with that, you had mentioned growing the team on the Brockton location. Do you think there's ever a possibility where you might open a third location, either in the state or perhaps a neighboring state?
You never know. Right now it's not something we're like looking into. We do pretty well out of here because we service Connecticut too. So, or at least parts of Connecticut, but I think we don't want to get too far from our home base because we do a lot of things that we can interchange between the two. It's not really two companies, but the two locations, the parts, and then we can kind of go back and forth. We have our own, driver that will drive the forklifts out there. So if we wanted to rent a forklift from Brockton here, we could bring it here. So I think we don't want to bite off more than we can chew getting too far from our location. And we don't ever want to be a big, like kind of superstore. We'd rather stay family owned and local and be able to kind of have a grasp personally around everything because we don't want to turn into just a face or a logo.
Right.
Which I think a lot of forklift companies do now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great approach. And we've talked a lot about lift truck. I would love to backtrack and talk more about what your career was before you joined the company.
I had done a lot of things. when I went to college, I was an English tutor at AIC. Mm-hmm. I worked in a pizza shop making pizzas and grinders, which actually was one of my favorite jobs because it's so fast paced and I thrive on multitasking. So it was just so much fun. And you get to see a lot of people and meet people. I worked doing hiring locum tenens doctors at one point after college, where it's kind of you're trying to recruit doctors to travel to different places. I can't say that was my favorite job, but I did some customer service phone calling. I was kind of all over the map. I did at AIC get a job. Also, it was like a tutoring job, but it was like an administrative job. So I did enjoy that as well. I had a great boss there, and she taught me a lot about just professionalism and talking to people. I think sometimes, you know, when you're coming out of college, you just kind of have that little gap in between. So,
right.
And then I don't even know how I decided to start here. I figured we needed help in Brockton. I decided I would go out there and see how it went. And I just really enjoyed it. I loved the people that I was talking to and the people that I was working with. And again, just learning things every day. I think I just really thrive on that atmosphere of being able to learn something new. It was like an extension of college, but in a whole different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a test involved.
Exactly. Exactly.
And one thing that you had shared in your bio, which I didn't read off during the episode, but will be in the show notes, is that you also like to read and run, which is stuff that I like to do in my free time. And so questions for you, a little bit of a fun question, but do you have any book recommendations for our listeners based on anything you've recently read?
I do love the book, The Silent Patient.
That was a good
one. It's really good. I'm big into a lot of the things, well, actually pretty much the bulk of what I read is like crime stories, that kind of thing. And I really loved that one. It had some good twists. I did also love Ashley Flowers' book, All Good People Here. It was a really good one as well. I hope she has a second one coming out. And I did also like, there's a podcast out of Boston called Morbid. And one of the women that's on it, Elena, she wrote a book called The Butcher and the Wren. And that was really, really good as well.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't read The Butcher and the Wren, but my best friend did and went to a book signing by Elena, which I thought was so cool.
That is so cool. She's awesome.
And with you running, I know you'd mentioned some fun facts that you've started to get more into races. Was there something that happened that kind of ignited your new interest in running, or is it something you've always wanted to try?
I've always wanted to try it, but I've been going. So ever since I had my daughter, I've always been trying to be healthier. And just when I was in high school, I was a cheerleader. So I was trying to get back in that shape, you know, and I go to a trainer out of East Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Her name's Kim Prendergast, and she owns, it's called Hit Harder Fitness. And she's kind of made a community of women. I was able to bring my daughter to her workouts, which made my life so much easier. And she's the one that kind of pushed me to say, you should run a 5K, you can do it. And I've always wanted to do it. It's great because it's always for charity and there's always a lot of people. So I started doing it then and I actually really enjoy it. I'm not sure I could run any farther than that, but I do like doing the 5Ks.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. And I find that with running specifically, it's such a good like mindset refresh for me. If I'm stressed or worried about something or just need to clear my head for a little bit, I find that going for a run really helps with that.
For sure. And I also love being able to get fresh air and just being outside. It's just nice.
And I imagine it's pretty being able to run outside around the western part of the state.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice. There's a lot of good foliage, a lot of good back roads you can run.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. That's a plus of it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had also shared that you're a board member for the Young Professional Society of Greater Springfield. So I'd love to hear more about that in terms of what the organization is and what inspired you to become a part of it.
It's great. So it's a networking organization in Western Mass. We hold a leadership luncheon every other month, which is usually like a leader in the community. That we'll talk about how they got where they are. We recently did one on economic development, which was very interesting. We do a third Thursday every month where we go to a different local business and we have either something to do with networking or we do just like cocktails and appetizers where you get to meet local business owners and people who are looking to expand their networks. And it's a lot of fun. I got into it by going to the events and then eventually became a board member. And it's great. It's a great way to get out, meet people, make connections. And even if you're not doing it for business, it's a great place to just like be with like-minded people.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with, like you mentioned, the economic development topic. That's a really interesting thing to be able to learn about what's happening locally in the business world.
Right. Absolutely. Especially here, I feel like in Western Mass, sometimes we're kind of disconnected from the rest of the state. It's a little different. There's not a lot of buses and structure going out there. So we're hoping that we're going to bring more people here in Western Mass because it's really a great place to live.
Yeah. And I know that there probably, I'm imagining, is like a seasonality to it as well, like out towards the Berkshires with the foliage and stuff like that. Do you see that out in Springfield at all?
Kind of. So the Berkshires is definitely more, I guess, I don't want to say desolate because it's not desolate, but more, it has more of just that feel that you can just drive out there. And Western Mass is like that too here in Springfield area, but it has its different spots that are beautiful. And then it has a lot of things to do. I think the Berkshires is a little more kind of hill towns, like more skiing and stuff like that. And here you have the options of doing different things, but then you also have the option of, hey, like I could just take a drive in the middle of nowhere, you know, and there's a lot of cool different spots.
Yeah, definitely. And Springfield is also like a college town slash city with both AIC and Springfield College. So what has that been like having a business within the area where you have it?
It's interesting. I mean, it brings a lot of talent our way. There's also a Western New England University out here. So we've definitely crossed paths with them. I would like to see personally more programs that have to do with mechanics and the trades. There's also Springfield Technical Community College out there that used to have an automotive program. And I feel like even in the eastern part of the state, a lot of that is dwindling. And I think we don't realize actually how important that is to our structure for the community and for business. I think it's kind of gone by the wayside over years where, you know, everyone thinks they have to go to college. They need to get a degree. And I don't really necessarily think that's true. I think you could make a great living being a mechanic. And as I said before, it's a tough job. I couldn't do it. I mean, I think it takes a completely different mind to do it. I could stare at those diagrams for 2 days and not know what I'm talking about. So I think it's just a completely different asset to our development of our whole community, really.
I love that. And I, especially because I am definitely a big believer in vocational schools as well. And so do you do any recruiting like that? Like, do you go into a vocational high school and perhaps try to recruit recent graduates or upcoming graduates?
So we do. We've been trying to do that actually recently a lot. We sometimes run into some issues because working with forklifts is kind of a liability issue within an age bracket. It's tough because we're willing to bring people in and help train them on forklifts, but we have to wait for a certain period. So it's kind of tricky. We are hoping this next couple of years to be able to do a couple of the trade shows at colleges and to be able, and at trade schools, to at least be, you know, showing them that this is an opportunity for them, because it's actually, I mean, it's a great job, and essentially you get to be on your own all day. We put these guys in vans and they go from customer to customer. So they're kind of running their own schedule. So I think that would appeal to some people.
Yeah. And I think that's a great approach, especially like you said, with there being a little bit of a difference out in the western part of the state compared to the eastern part, of being able to do more of that outreach and connect with students in the community.
Absolutely.
And so shifting gears to a little bit fun topic, what would you say your favorite local businesses are to support?
Oh, there's so many. That's a tough one. So I'm really big into trying new food. So here in West Springfield, there is a restaurant called Sunny Side Up Restaurant, and they make delicious breakfast, but they make incredible Polish food. I'm really big fan of their Polish platter. I eat it for lunch all the time and then want to take a nap. So it has pierogi, lumpki, Polish bigos, which is like a hunter stew. And it is, it's outstanding. The people that own it are super nice too. I also love Calabrese Market, which is a little Italian market that's down the street from us here. They make panini, but they also make all prepared foods that are delicious. There is a clothing store called the Grady Shop that is in Wilbraham, Massachusetts, and they sell the cutest clothes, and they also donate a portion of their proceeds every month to a local charity, is really cool. Yeah, and of course I support the Young Professional Society. We do our marketing for the 35th year. We're doing our marketing with Chick Media, and I'm good friends with the owner of Chick Media, and they're incredible. They do so many fun things. And last but not least, in East Long Meadow, there's a place called The Sweet Boutique, and she makes custom cookies and treats, and it's really delicious.
I love that. You covered all the bases with those recommendations.
So many things. I love supporting local businesses. It's way more fun. You get to know the people that own them, and you're not supporting, like, I don't want to throw a Walmart under the bus, but Walmart.
Yeah, the big guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Kara, this has been such an awesome episode. I've really enjoyed learning more about you and all that you've done at Lift Truck and all that you will do in the years to come after celebrating the 35th anniversary. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
So our website is www.lifttruckmass.com. It's 2 T's, 2 S's at the end. So we're going to be doing a lot of changes on that. You can always contact me through there. Our social media, we have a Facebook, Lift Truck Parts and Service. So feel free to message me there, message me on our website, fill out the form, and connect with us.
Perfect. And I will link to all those in the show notes in case our listeners missed out. They can click through from there and follow you. But Kara, thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.